Episode 21 of
the Perth Podcast.
Woo! Here we are again. We're back.
It's been 20 minutes since we recorded.
Has it even been 20 minutes?
I don't think it's even been 20 minutes.
Here,
yeah.
You know, recording back to back. But here we are again. We're back in the same place we were 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So there's no new news, funnily enough. There's nothing new. Although, Stoby, you have been volunteering. Tell us a bit about that work.
Yeah, that's been great. So, been volunteering at Dewars for the mass vaccination program.
Woo.
So I've been a marshal on a couple of occasions now, and it's been good fun. Like, it's good to just get out and, yeah, okay, I've been working in Asda throughout the whole thing as well, some nights. So I've not got the same social anxieties we talked about before. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. The last shift I did, actually, I spent 3 hours on the front door at the bottom of the steps.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm the first person that people were speaking to as they were coming
in.
It was just good fun. I got to put on my extrovert hat for a bit and just chat to everyone as they came in, and it was really good. Everyone, you know, I mean,
take the microphone. You should be interviewing everyone as they go by, you know.
It'd be, how you feeling? Nervous. How you feeling? Nervous. How you feeling? Nervous? Yeah. To be fair, most people didn't seem nervous. So
we've all had jags before.
Exactly.
Nothing new there. Some people like needles more than others. Well, mm-hmm. Sorry. Some people dislike needles more than others. I don't think anyone likes needles, but you know what I mean. It's what it is. But
yeah.
So how are you finding it? Are you enjoying it? Do you think it's you feel like you're doing something useful?
Yeah, I mean, more useful than, you know, I normally do, but no, it is good. And the people, anytime I've had to say to people, you know, you're gonna have to wait till closer to your appointment.
Yeah.
They've been fine about it, you know, and things like the video you did, mm-hmm. where it actually says to people, turn up close to your appointment time.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. People are prepped for that.
And that's all down to reducing people, isn't it? Hanging around, essentially.
Yeah, that's the numbers are there to control how many people are in the area at any one time.
Totally understandable.
And even, like, at one point we had a backlog, but the vaccinators just stepped up, sort of cut down on their lunches and stuff like that, and just got through
it
and cleared it out again.
That's our NHS, get on with it, that's the way.
That's it.
Well, that's good, though. That's good to see you've been doing that, and, you know,
I enjoy it.
I mean, you must be losing out in gears of war time to do that, though, are you? I mean, just lock the kids in the shed. No, we don't do that. We don't do that.
It's the garage.
The garage, yeah, because it's bigger and give them water.
Right,
and
that makes sense.
But yeah, so I've been doing nothing because it's been 20 minutes since we last spoke. But so we have had in another guest. So do you want to tell us a wee bit about who we had in?
Yeah, so we had Rachel Esdale from Social Flock, and she joined us, it was just a couple of weeks ago, was it not?
It was, and I was here this time. Where
To talk about Social Flock, what they're doing, what they've got coming up. And it was just a really good chat, and we went off on a few tangents as well, which is...
Always, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was going to say, tell us what Social Flock is, but why don't we hear it from Rachel?
Go for it.
Kick it off.
Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. I've had a really nice day out in the kind of... Do you know how we're in that weird spring stage where it's... like it looks sunny, but as soon as you go outside, you freeze.
Mm-hmm. False advertising. That's what it is.
Exactly what it is. I had a nice walk today, so yeah.
I enjoyed summer last week. Those 2 days it was sunny. That was nice.
It's my favourite day of the year.
It was a Wednesday.
I get what you mean, though, because sometimes you'll see couples and one of them's wearing a big thick winter jacket and the other one's in shorts and t-shirt, and you're like, yeah, you didn't have a clue either, did you?
But it's all good. We're almost there. We're almost out of that winter time now. And of course, as we record, the clocks go forward tonight. So
that'll
be interesting. Yeah. Stoby, come on.
Oh, I'll let you know how that went for me on the next episode.
Who knows when this episode's coming out, because he won't know either.
So we lose an hour tonight?
No, we gain an hour in bed.
Right, I need to sort
the kids. Forward. No, wait, we lose.
Yeah.
Do we lose?
Lose.
Yeah, you jump forward. Oh, that's right.
No, hold on a minute. No. I never signed up for that.
I'm losing an hour.
I won't. Oh. I'll just amend the kids' clocks so that they... Or I won't amend the kids' clocks, sorry, so they'll still look and say, it's not 8 o'clock yet, I can't get up.
That's the way forward. So Social Flock, Rachel, for the people listening, what is Social Flock? Give us a quick rundown.
So Social Flock We are a community clothing initiative. We're currently working on our charity application. And the idea behind Social Flock is to ensure that children and young people in Perthshire have access to suitable clothing. And by suitable, we mean like weather appropriate, but also clothing that allows them to express themselves. So it's like their identity, that they can feel comfortable and confident in and really feel like it represents who they are. And it's also to support the environment. So obviously fast fashion has a massive impact on the environment. So by having using secondhand and pre-loved clothing, we're helping reduce the reliance on fast fashion, which in turn helps the environment. Yeah, those were kind of the two main principles, were to help young people and also to help the environment.
Brilliant. So you're sort of relying on donations then? Is that the primary thing that you rely on for this?
Yeah, so we're actually really early on in our development of Social Flock. So we launched our first project last September, which was our winter warmer pack. So families could apply for up to 10 items of waterproof, cozy indoor and outdoor clothing items. And so we're actually just starting to bed into what the long-term look of Social Flock is. And we have received a massive amount of pre-loved clothing from people across Perthshire. But we're also looking to get donations from like shops and different places that supply like different items for young people, maybe school uniform or sports kits. So it is a mixture of new and pre-loved. But yeah, we are quite heavily donation based. And it's been amazing, the amount of people that have donated and donated so much. And that's the thing with kids' clothing, especially baby stuff. Your baby's in it for 3 months. And as long as they don't stain it, which can happen fairly frequently when you've got little ones, but as long as they don't like stain it, they're only in it for 3 months. And another like six or seven children could wear it before that one vest or that one outfit's worn out. So the idea is that we can take that and redistribute it to families across Perthshire.
I've just got like flashbacks to some of the staining incidents with some of the baby clothes with my kids. I can't go into that just now.
No. it's like it brings flashbacks to other parents. So you can't mention it because you've had everything.
I do love that idea of the, especially the kids' clothing, like you say, because there's a natural turnover of kids' clothing. And we as a society, of course, have started to rely on this whole, you know, fast shopping. I'm not going to mention any brand names here or shop names. But yeah, there's certain, you know, it's not that difficult to run out and get a £2 t-shirt these days, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing as well. There's a reliance on fast fashion, but it's also about affordability. And that's where clothing needs to become more accessible and more kind of intersectional as well. So being green and sustainable is becoming quite a trend. So a lot of really big clothing companies are starting to do a certain like brand within their company that's sustainable. So they might do like one set of outfits that are made from a more sustainable type of cotton, or that are only produced in like a small scale way, but it's greenwashing. So it presents as if they're being really considerate to the environment, but actually their main practices of mass producing items and not recycling clothes stay the same. So while there's this line and everyone's really interested in that because we want to be more sustainable, mostly, I think most people across the board are thinking about different ways that they can impact climate change in their own lives. So we want to be more sustainable. So we're buying that range of kind of eco-friendly branded clothing, but it's still fast fashion. And it's really difficult because it's not actually the consumer that needs to change their practice. It's the big businesses that need to change their practice.
Because clearly the consumer is only trying to react to what's out there and you know, think they're doing the right thing because they're choosing this so-called eco-friendly choice.
But it's only like a green tip of the iceberg, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's where the intersectionality comes in, is that actually if you can't be shamed for buying a £2 t-shirt if that's all you've got in your budget.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Like, if you can get six outfits for £20, or you can get a top and a bottom that's eco-friendly, what most people go for these days.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
In addition to that, a lot of the stuff that is eco-friendly and is like slow fashion brands, they aren't necessarily size inclusive. So you've got to be aware of stuff like that. It can be a lot harder to get size inclusive clothing that's completely eco-friendly, especially in the demand that we have for clothing at fast fashion like scale.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of got to be a balance between all of those things to take into consideration.
Yeah, and I can see how focusing on kids it would be so important as well, because I know, like, for me anyway, I put on a pair of shorts last week that I bought back in 2011 for going to Mexico. So I mean, my clothes last me, but when you're growing through them really quickly, you're not getting the kind of the money's worth out of them.
Exactly. So. And I think that's, so we've got some projects in the lineup, in the pipeline, as it were, that we want to be able to achieve across 2021. And it kind of looks at that idea of going, well, actually, if you're going to grow out of this, we can really help young people and families across Perthshire not have the expense of having to replace your clothing all the time, especially considering like the financial impact and the mental health impact and all of the kind of social and community impacts that COVID has had over the last year.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I mean, it's really impacted, you know, so many people in all walks of life. I mean, before COVID, I was actually having a quick think there about what you're saying about the clothing and all that stuff. And I attended, it was a women's fashion type thing where each person brought their own pile of clothing they didn't want anymore. And they go into a rack, and then you go and pick someone else's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this sort of big clothing swap. So outfits that people were sick of were now hung up for someone else to try out.
Yeah.
And it was an incredible event. I shot it for the people putting it on. That was, oh, that's terrible. I've forgotten the name. Who was that?
Was it Black Pam?
No.
Oh, my friend runs a beautiful vegan skin brand, and she used to do swap shops like that.
Right. Oh, yeah. Swap Shop. That's what it's called. Exactly. Yeah. No, it was Zero Waste Perth that did it. That's what it was. It's part of Zero Waste Perth.
Yeah.
So this whole idea of being able to go in and just swap all this clothing out. And there were people there making new things out of the clothing as well. And it's really nice to see that being reused and repurposed for the good and not just thrown in a pile somewhere. Because, I mean, like you're saying, Rachel, we're a disposable society these days. Back in the day, you know, your washing machine breaks, my dad would have it in bits. There'd be a £2 part put in it and it'd work again. Now where the washing machine's broken, straight off to the shop and buy another one.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's the education about how to make your clothes sustainable as well. So what you don't want to do is you don't want people to have a wardrobe that they really enjoy all of their outfits for and feel guilty looking at them, but it's teaching them how to maintain those clothes. So like Zero Waste Perth did a lot of stuff about learning how to sew on buttons or how to stitch things together or how to rehem items. And they were popular because people don't necessarily have those skills. So it's about how you maintain your clothes to make them last longer. And also things like how many times you have to wear that particular item before it's carbon neutral. And on average, you've got to wear an item about 30 times before it's carbon neutral. And if you are buying seasonally, you aren't necessarily getting 30 wears, especially if you're a child. So like my daughter will be in shorts for over summer and then can't wear them again next year because she's grown. Like,
how selfish of her.
So it's about then going, okay, well, my daughter's had them on 10 times. I will pass them on to another family who can wear them 10 times for the summer season. And then they go to another family. And so we're making sure that the clothes that we have become carbon neutral by maintaining them.
Yeah,
passing them on. And that's actually something that we're really looking into for Social Flock too, is how do we maintain our clothes and how do we like mend them? So making sure clothes in that can't be like just passed back on, that we take them to get them mended. Or we have people that collaborate with us on that. And also that we have artists who maybe use like pre-loved textiles in their own way. So whether that's like tie dyeing, or I don't know if you've seen that people make like memory teddy bears.
Oh yeah, I have seen them. Yeah.
Yep.
We're passing them on to other artists who could reuse that fabric because it's in good enough condition to use but not to wear. Or bits of it are in good enough condition and other bits aren't, that they can actually repurpose that for their own like their own business or their own charitable status or whatever they're doing. And then we recycle so that actually we're not just going, oh, that's got a tiny stain on it, or, oh, that's really bobbled, it just needs to go. We'll take the bobbles off. We'll pass the stain item on to someone that can use it. So we're trying to reduce the automatic recycling of clothes that happens a lot in charity shops. The charity shops will take items in and then they'll display them for a certain amount of time. And then they normally like cycle them around different shops.
Right.
Sold. And then after a certain amount of time of them not selling, they automatically just go to recycling
or oh, wow.
abroad. And so donating to charity shops, while obviously incredibly worthy, if your items aren't fashionable now or aren't coming back because of vintage sales and whatever else, that item might end up just in a landfill or yeah. in textile recycling and not used.
Yeah.
So this is the idea that actually just being able to rehouse stuff and finding new homes for it and new purposes for it kind of covers the whole reduce, reuse and recycle.
Yeah, I was going to say there's way, way more to this than just reusing clothes. By the side of it. There's absolutely. A lot of thought going into the how you're going to do that and how you're going to move that forward. And actually what you're saying about moving your clothes on from your own children, we've done that with our friends. So we had a couple of year gap between children between us. So we would bag up all the clothes that don't fit and hand them down to them. And then they did that for us with our next child. And it works really well.
Yeah, exactly. And aren't we so fortunate when we have friends like that? Like,
oh, yeah.
Realize it at the time how privileged we are, because I'm in the same situation. I have a friend who's got a little girl who's 18 months older, 2 years older than my daughter, and I get all of her hand-me-downs, and they're absolutely like they're in brilliant condition, and I just don't have to worry about it. But other people don't have that network set up. And it's like it's sharing that wealth of clothing with people who don't have people to pass them on to, because it's so supportive. And that's kind of, that's something that I'm also really passionate about, is that actually Social Flock isn't for people who are like in dire need, because I just don't believe that everyone has to be like at their worst, struggling the most to be like at the level where they can get help.
Yeah.
So a lot of places like funding things that you can get if you are in need of like emergency assistance, you have to be either referred from other groups that are also supporting you, or you have to have under a certain income for benefits. And there's so many families and so many people that can fall through the gaps because of that, that actually that's how we end up with people who are in working poverty. Because they don't fall into the category of, oh, you don't earn enough to get help, but they also don't fall into the category of you earn enough so you don't require any help. And it creates that situation where someone's or like a family could be working and still not have everything that they need easily accessible to them. So for me, for Social Flock, you don't have to prove your need in order to get our services. So we partner with different groups so they can refer people to us, but we also have open self-referrals. So if you're like, actually, I could really do with that just this month because normally everything's fine, but something's happened, like my washing machine's broken and I don't know how to fix it. I'm going to have to go and buy a new washing machine. I can't afford to get the kids their summer clothes, that they can come to us and go, this is what I need. And we can go, cool. You don't have to explain for it. You don't have to tell us how hard stuff has been in order to get what you need.
Yeah, don't have to justify yourself, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That can be really dehumanizing, but also it can really put people off, because there's also that want to not need help.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're a very proud nation, I think, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing that I would really like to break down Social Flock, is that actually it's not help and support, it's just community. It's literally how things should be, because we don't see it as like help and support when it comes from a friend who's got a kid 2 years older than us. So just because Social Flock is working as a middleman to go, oh, you have a kid who's 3, I've got a kid who's 5, and they've got a kid who's 4, their stuff will fit you can get their stuff up to them. Like, we're just working as the middleman to find you families who can pass stuff on to you. So yeah, I think that that's also something that I'm really keen to make sure that people know that it's just accessible and it's just for them. So they can do it whether they need the financial support or the financial freedom of not having to pay for those clothing items, or whether it's a mental health support, they just need the weight of having to go shopping off of their shoulders. But it can also just be for families who want to support the environment or think it's a good cause. And also,
and that's a really wide spectrum, though, isn't it, of people with backgrounds and all that. And actually, you see, if it's just you want to support the environment and not throw things away for no reason, mm-hmm. that's ideal.
Yeah, the idea is it's social focus for people who wear clothes.
Very inclusive.
So yeah, that's the aim, is that we really help just anyone who wants to be involved. And it's really exciting because we are so brand new. So we're still finding our feet and still trying to work out what the best way to operate things is and what actually the people of Perth do need from us. So we are at this place of lots of like blue sky thinking and like connecting with lots of different types of people and lots of different like groups that already work in Perth and schools and stuff like that. So it's really nice to be really feeling the community come together to say, oh, we want to be part of this. Oh, I think my school needs this. And while on one hand you're like, oh, I really wish we weren't living in a situation where people were coming saying, oh, we really require this. But on the other hand, it's really great to know that what we're doing is going to support people.
Yeah. And I like the, like you were saying, Ian, we're quite a proud nation, we're a proud tribe of people. And whether it's clothing, money, mental health, people do feel that they need to be like in the dire straits, as you said, Rachel, before mm-hmm. they can even ask for help. And so pushing it as it's a community thing, it's environmental, and it's for anyone who wears clothes is the absolute right way to kind of push that, I would say, and encourage people to come towards it. Now, if people aren't necessarily needing the clothing but want to give you the clothing, how do they go about doing that?
So unfortunately, because we're still in tier 4 lockdown, we're not accepting donations. But what you can do is you can follow us on Facebook. Our handle is at Social Flock Perth. Or you can contact us via email, which is socialflockperth@outlook.com. And someone will get back to you. Because we're brand new, we're still quite a small group of people. So we're not instant responders, unfortunately, but we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And once we can open donations, we will.
So I suppose the next one is, if I'm looking for that support, I take it it'll be the same Facebook page, it'll be the same email address and all that. So from that point of view, Perth people, this is for you. As in, like Rachel said, if you wear clothes, this is for you.
Yeah.
Get in touch, have a look, follow on Facebook, see what's going on. Things are clearly heating up. Rachel's moving this forward at some speed. I bet you wish COVID wasn't holding you back, though.
Yeah, it's actually been, we had 104 applications for our winter warmer pack, which was a lot more than I had originally aimed for. I was aiming for 15.
So that is quite a difference.
Yeah, and it just really showed us that the need is there. We are hoping to launch 2 new projects that are for clothing libraries access for babies. So you can book a baby pack that will give you kind of a week's worth of clothing for like 0 to 3 or 3 to 6, so that people who are having children can get that extra support. It's kind of like, do you know how in Scotland we get the baby box packs now?
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
Yeah.
So it's like a baby box booster. So you
I
get
like it.
Oh, thanks. I'm so self-impressed. And also we're hoping to launch a school uniform bank as well, which hasn't formally been launched yet, but off the back of the amount of applications that we had through schools for our winter warmer pack, we think that a school uniform bank would be really, really supportive of parents. So we'll be looking for donations of like immaculate condition pre-loved items of any school uniform, and then, as you were saying, you can apply once we're open for applications. We normally put like a Microsoft Forms link on our Facebook page, and you can just self-refer by completing the form. And because it's Microsoft Forms, it works on any mobile device. And our forms, we try to keep them quite short. So they're like 5 minutes, 6 minutes to complete. And then your application gets put on a waiting list. And depending on, it's difficult because it's not first come, first served, because every child needs different sizes of stuff. So we might be able to fulfill some really quickly because we'll have a lot of stock in that size. But otherwise, we'll have to put them on the waiting list until we get those items either donated, or we can purchase them until we get the fundraising in to purchase them.
I love that idea of being able to fill in the form though and get exactly what you need as a family, not just, oh, well, we've got a box of stuff, come and help yourself. You're actually going to go and find exactly what my children need or my family need to go to school or whatever it might be. And I think that takes a lot of the unknown out of it, yeah, as it were. You know, I think people worry when they don't know exactly what's going on. So that's a really nice way to provide it. I mean, I think we all know you go to car boot sale or whatever. Remember those back when we could see people? back in Nam. But you'd go and you'd be going around looking at all these people selling clothes and guessing where there might be something. Because I used to package up boxes and sell them for £1. You know, here's 15 onesies for a 1-year-old or whatever it might be. And that went really well because I'd already told people what was in the box. They didn't have to go searching for it. They knew that was a box full of, you know, 1 to 2 month old clothing. And now that's how it works. And this, that's what appeals to me. I don't particularly like certain clothing shops that start with a T and end in a K-Max, where you have to go through and rake. I hate that stuff personally. So, you know, I've got better things to do with my time. So
it can be quite overwhelming,
It's too much. And it's like going into a sweet shop that's got too much stuff. Just keep it simple for me, you know. And it's really nice to know that you guys are there and willing to look out the correct clothing, which I can only, you know, hope, and not just hope, I'm sure you'll get an influx once we're open again, once the country is open again. And I think this is something that not just Perth should be doing. I mean, when's the great expansion, Rachel? When are you going to move into the rest of the cities?
Oh gosh, let me get Perth in order first, because we're trying to be Perthshire. So our winter warmer packs went like up to Kirkmichael and out to Blairgowrie and Rattray as well. So we know that the support isn't just needed in Perth Centre. There's areas all across Perthshire that need it. So we are going to try and be Perthshire wide, but we're also aware that there's lots of community run hubs all across Perthshire that are already serving their community in that way. So we're also looking to work and create partnerships with people who are already working in those areas and either offer extra support or like signpost people to them as well, so that it can be really collaborative.
You're talking about other charities and other organisations. I think what we've seen, Stobie, over the months and year of doing this is how much that happens. Perth charities and organisations are so good at meeting with each other and talking about how we're fighting the same fight here. How can we help each other do it?
It's been great because I reached out to a lot of people because obviously I've never done anything like this before. My background is not in clothing. My background is not in charity work. But this has just become something that I've been incredibly passionate about since becoming a mother. And as soon as I started sending emails going, I was maybe thinking about doing this thing, people were like, great, do you want to arrange a phone call? Do you want to arrange a Zoom meeting? Once it's allowed, do you want to come and see our venue and how we work things? Here are the forms that we use for our applications. Do you want to set up? Oh, this person also might be interested to talk to you. So it has been so uplifting to go, I want to help my community, and then see this community of people going, oh, we do that too, let us help you do that. And it's so nice. And I think that once you're aware that that community support is there, you feel so much more involved in it, even if you're not actually active in it. It's how do we make sure that everyone in Perth knows that that community support is there and accessible to them? How do we make sure that everyone knows? And I just wanted to touch back on something you said about that applications and about rooting around and finding the right clothes, if you don't mind, if that's okay, because
I'll allow it.
We specifically as well don't like assign clothes a gender. So it's really important that clothes are just clothes. Anyone can wear any clothing that they want. So like my little girl really loves Power Rangers and of course, and she really loves like blue clothes, and I struggle to get stuff like that in girls' clothing. So she just wears boys' clothing, and it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make an ounce of difference ever. So what we'll do is we won't ask for your preferences in gendered clothing, but we'll ask specifically, what colours do you want? What styles of clothing do you want? What items of clothing do you want? Which means that there's also no pressure to take clothes that you wouldn't normally wear, or take not ask for clothes that you do want to wear just because you think that there might be some like judgment or expectation of what someone might, and of that particular gender, might want to wear. It will all be down to the applicant, and it'll be really clear as well about what you can have and what's available and what each pack will contain, because it is, like, as a mother, when you're trying to organize stuff, you're like, oh, and she's got to be there, and there's got to be these six things that she has with her at that time, and then also straight after that she has to eat her tea because then she's on Zoom, and for Zoom she needs to have her homemade, I don't know, rattle, and then after that it's bedtime and bath. So I absolutely know that a really quick form that's really clear and really concise and gets you what you need just is like the pièce de résistance when you're trying to organize a family. So we're kind of making sure to cover all of those bases too, to make sure that our stuff is really inclusive as well.
If only big businesses worked like that.
I mean, it's not hard, but it's when stuff has been set in stone for so long, it's like people are resistant to change, or have to, like, I don't know, fight against that change or mock the change before they're willing to move forward with it. And I find that really difficult to comprehend, especially when, like, when you look at the difference that acceptance and openness can have, and the impact on young people specifically in their mental health, and also, like, getting a bit dark, but basically gender acceptance has such a massive impact on how young people feel, and they should get to dress however they want to express themselves, and Social Flock won't ever judge you for wanting to do that, and we'll support that. And also, some young people have sensory requirements when it comes to their clothing, so they might not like the feel of wool, or they might not like clothes with Velcro, and we will take all of that, all of those notes on board as well, and we specifically ask for requirements like that, because we want to make sure that, because clothes are for everyone and because Social Flock is for everyone, that we make sure that our practices align with that too.
Can you just put on my notes there, Rachel, that I hate the feel of wool? Just put that on there. That's fine. Thank you.
You might be too old for our boxes. We only serve up to people who are 18.
Are you just assuming how old I am?
Yes, I am.
I don't like this.
Am I wrong? Am I way off?
No comment.
Are you bigger than an 18-year-old, Ian?
Oh, definitely no comment.
Height-wise. So you've probably kind of touched on it already, but is your inspiration for doing this then being a mum? Like, is that what drove you to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's a mixture of things. So my day job, as it were, has always been through community engagement. And I was a single mum living in Edinburgh for a while, and I was on a really good wage for Edinburgh. I was on a wage that felt like it was the highest wage that I'd ever had in my life. And I was poor. I was really poor because Edinburgh rates for everything are ridiculous. But because of the wage I was on, I didn't qualify for any support. And it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare because I was working full time, really hard, in a job that I loved, in a city that I adored, but it wasn't sustainable financially. And that is such a kick in the teeth when you're doing your best to kind of fulfill the societal standards of what you have to be as a parent, to then go, can someone maybe help me here? I'd quite like my ends to meet. And they go, ha ha, you should be able to do that by yourself. And it's like, well, actually, that's not how inflation seems to be working alongside minimum wage and overall job like salaries. And I just felt like there was more that I could do to help support people who fell through that gap. And also when I started doing research or finding out about fast fashion and accessibility to that and the impact that that had, I just became really interested in how that works for children and how that works in a smaller community way. Like, how could I tackle that for my friends, or how could I tackle that for the Perthshire community? And this idea of being able to connect with people and parents and families who might just need a little bit of support, and like marry that with being environmentally active and thinking about the impact that we have on the planet and creating a community, a clothing community, just felt like the right, that just became the thing that happened. And I did a bit of research about other clothing banks that exist around Scotland. And yeah, we just kind of, it kind of snowballed from the winter warmer pack, because we had such a massive response from that. I was like, oh, this shouldn't just be a one-off project. This needs to be an actual thing that I do.
We are onto something here.
Yeah, like, people need this. And not only do people need this, but people want this. So yeah, we're working on it. We're working on it pretty hard. It's not just me. I've got three fantastic volunteers who give their time to kind of wash the clothes, check the clothes over. And then we're, because donations come in, and we had one fantastic mother who donated all of her child's clothes, and she hadn't thrown anything away. Her child was, I think, 11.
And oh, wow.
We from birth to 11. So we've been going through it. We check it all, and then we pack it by age. So it's taken a long time. We've been using banana boxes as storage just now, and we've got maybe 100 banana boxes worth of clothing. And that was only donations that we took before Christmas. So we're still working through sorting and organizing all of those. So the response has been absolutely overwhelming from the people of Perth who are willing to offer their support as well. So that's been really fantastic.
They're a good bunch in Perth.
Oh. Yeah.
We found that in the last year or so, and Ian, you've found this out a lot longer with your job, but people in Perth are so ready to be community minded. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic to hear that. So just before we wrap up, one thing that we always ask our guests is, if a tourist came up to you and they just arrived in Perth and they had no plans, what one thing would you tell them they had to do?
In COVID times or prior to us not being allowed to
assume freedom.
Okay. I love a coffee and a cake from Blend. And my day job is working in theatre. And I think we have an absolutely jaw-droppingly beautiful theatre.
Here.
And so I would say, get a coffee and a cake. Go for a walk round the Inch because it's beautiful. Come back, get a Chinese, probably from the Hong Kong. Am I allowed to do that? Is that advertising?
Nah, we don't care. Carry on.
Because their food is just amazing. And then once you've had your tea, go and watch a show in Perth Theatre.
I'd like to add as well, though, the idea of Blend. You mentioned Blend. How good is their Jaffa hot chocolate? I don't know if you've had that, but... oh, it's so nice.
I have their hot chocolate with coconut milk.
Oh,
it's like drinking a Bounty, which is controversial because not everyone loves a Bounty, but that drink, see on like a nice brisk, I'm actually going to have to go and see them.
We're going to cut the podcast short now and go.
Absolutely. I do. I love Blend. It's got such a good vibe when we're allowed inside. It's just a great place to be in.
And they're reopened now as well. I saw people queuing at the door waiting for their orders. So get to Blend, people. Rachel, listen, thanks very much for giving us your time on a Saturday night as well, of all things, to tell us all about Social Flock.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been absolutely lovely to get to talk to people about it.
it's really lovely to talk to people full stop, isn't it? You know,
hi everyone.
It's really good. Just remind everyone who's listening your Facebook page and the email one more time.
Yeah, so our Facebook page handle is at socialflockperth, and our email is socialflockperth@outlook.co.uk. And please do get in touch if you work in a school or with a charity that supports young people and families, and you think that they could benefit with some clothing support. Or if you want to make donations, we will put a post up on Facebook when we're ready to reopen them.
Rachel, a true pleasure. Thanks for coming along. We'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. You take care.
Thanks, Rachel. Cheers.
Thank you. And we're back.
Sorry to disappoint. Rachel is gone now. It is just back to us two.
You can just turn it off. No, don't turn it off. We haven't gone through your spiel. Hang on.
Yeah. So the usual stuff. So like, subscribe. You find us...
fcpod.net. Come on, Stoby.
I was actually about to say you'll find us on Spotify or Amazon or that.
Oh, we're there too.
But if they're already listening to this, they found us somewhere.
But they should still hit the subscribe button. No matter where they are, hit the subscribe button. Yeah, give us a like, give us a message. Said it last time, if there's anyone that you think should be on the show, that we need to interview, that we need to talk to, someone who's really stepped up during COVID, someone who has gone the extra mile, who's helped other people, or even just a business who's struggled through and they've made sacrifices or they've helped people. There's loads of them out mm-hmm. there. Let us know who that could be. And we can interview them. We can talk to them about what they've been up to and just get the message out there. We're still here. Everyone's still here. The town centre's still here. Let's make this happen. Oh, there's a new shop moving into the town centre.
Oh.
I need to find that. Sorry, folks, we're not going
yet.
Is
this a food place?
Subscribe while I find this. Well, there is a new food place called Bulldog Frog or something like that.
So there is that. There's another one that keeps coming up on my newsfeed as well, and I can't remember what it was, but they advertise with donuts.
Oh, what?
So
I just lost some more weight. I don't need to know this information. Just stop.
No matter how hard I work or how much I eat, I'm staying about the same weight. So,
well, so you're just going for it then? Just going for the donuts?
Just get stuck in, yeah.
Crew Clothing is going into where Phase 8 used to be.
Okay.
So we've got another clothing shop coming. They're opening in Perth. So not all doom and gloom, sort of. It isn't. No, it's not. It's fine. And we've got that new food place opened up. So Cafe Coco, which I'm gutted about, unfortunately, is gone. And I used to get some amazing sandwiches in Cafe Coco. I mean, ridiculously large. But that's my kind of sandwich. So... God, they're gone. Don't know why they're gone, but you know, good luck to them. Wish them all the best. And Bulldog Frog, which is a bit of a mouthful and a tongue twister in itself. But I've seen some of the stuff online of what they are dishing out, and apparently it's some sort of comfort food, which I think we all need a bit of that. I'm going to see if I can find it. There it is, the Bulldog Frog. So that's in the old Cafe Coco place. If you come out of the cinema, turn right. Pretty much right in front of you. And actually, you can't miss their design. It's very bold, black and green. Yeah, you can't miss it. So what we got here? We've got Nom Nom Alert. Oh, I need to stop looking at this. So there are Biscoff and Crunchy Scones. I mean, who comes up with that? Kudos.
A genius.
An absolute genius. And then they've dribbled chocolate, white and dark chocolate over the top of these things. Just stop recording.
If anyone is like hours away from their next meal, we apologize.
What else have we got here? Oh, there's burgers, chips, cheese. Yes, let's just quit and go there.
So long story short, like, subscribe, tell your friends.
See you later. Bye.